My assignment today is to quickly discuss some of the bias in current books and media against oneness Pentecostalism. And when I was given that topic, I knew that it was certainly far above what any number of scholars could handle in several week sessions, let alone someone like me that is neither a scholar nor had the appropriate sources or time to study the matter. And so I thought that I would try to gain some help, elicit some support and help from other people that study oneness Pentecostalism, and I decided that I would ask two questions and try to deal with those two questions during this session. And the first question is there currently a bias against oneness Pentecostalism in the media? And then the second question would be a follow-up. Should a oneness Pentecostal expect opposition in the media as a result of his biblical interpretation of the Godhead and the exclusive use of Jesus' name baptism? And so I began to ask myself who I could approach concerning these questions. And my mind first went to some scholars that I had the opportunity to sit underneath. First was Dr. Joseph Kikasola. He happened to be the top theologian for the Presbyterian Church at one time. He now serves at Regent University. He's had extensive training in linguistics and ancient languages. He was my professor of Old Testament at Ashland University. And reminds me of the time that I walked into Dr. Kikasola's office and I was talking about the oneness and my study of it. And it's a wonderful thing, Brother French, that despite the fact that all these schools of thought are Trinitarian, that they cannot dissuade you from the conclusions that history and the Bible certainly will allow you to come to. So I sat in Dr. Kikasola's office and I asked him, I said, Dr. Kikasola, let me ask you this question, my study of the oneness. If the Jewish people were indeed God's people, and he was a great scholar in the Old Testament, I said, would you agree that they were God's chosen people? Oh, yes, he said, most definitely. I said, well, why would God not have revealed to them his triune nature? Why would God hide this from the Jews for all these centuries and save it for the Christian church, as you would say? Why would God hide it from his own people? And they still today do not accept. That's the dividing line for the Jews. And Kikasola leaned back and he said, you know, Rodney, he said, I have thought of that often. He says, I don't have an answer for that. He says, but I want you to know it troubles me greatly. It concerns me that God would not reveal his own divine nature to his own people. And so when I began to roll over those things in my mind, I thought, I want to contact Dr. Kikasola. The second man I wanted to contact was Dr. Arthur Kleinhager. Dr. Kleinhager was also a professor that I sat in his classes. He sat as the director, the executive director of the National Association of Evangelicals, a very prestigious organization. It's the umbrella organization for the Religious Broadcasters Association. So I thought that he was most appropriate in his position and his outlook as to answer this question, is there bias in the media, especially against oneness Pentecostals? He later served as the resident theologian for the National Association of Evangelicals. And I also contacted several others. I won't take time to go into their credentials, but they included Dr. Vincent Sinan from Regent University, E. Calvin Beisner of Knox Theological Seminary, and then I also contacted David Bernard Brother David Norris, Brother Talmage French, and some of our own scholars, along with Gary McGee and Stanley Burgess, who were responsible for writing the Journal of Charismatic and Pentecostal Movements a few years ago. And I asked them this question that I have proposed to you this morning. Is there currently a bias against oneness Pentecostalism in the media? And I think that their input into this is certainly significant, and I might say that all of their correspondence will be found for you in their entirety on this CD. And so that you will be able to go back and read the emails. None of them were very long, but it was very insightful as to what they had to say concerning the bias against oneness Pentecostalism. I'd just like to define a few things for you very quickly. By bias, we mean an inclination or an outlook, especially a personal and sometimes unreasoned judgment or prejudice against something. And that's what we're talking about here. This is not something that has been reasoned out, that has been founded upon history or biblical truth, but this is a personal prejudice that some people have against not just oneness Pentecostalism, but most often against anything that doesn't coincide with their beliefs. And certainly that is the problem that we are facing. Because we have such a distinct message, because we stand against, as Brother Mooney preached, the typical understanding of the plan of salvation as well as the oneness of the Godhead, then the rest of the church has taken a very ardent stand against us and are willing to fight us. And as Brother Mooney pointed out, it is indeed growing, and I think it will continue to grow until the coming of the Lord. And so, when we continue about our definitions, the question was, are we talking about all of the media or just the Christian media? Well, Kikasola wrote back that if you mean the secular media, they do not care what you believe. And I can agree with that. David Norris wrote me back and said, I think there is bias in the secular media against Christianity in general, regardless of the strife. Anything of absolute truth and personal God that has requirements for God's lives will likely be criticized. And so we all agree that the secular media really doesn't distinguish between us and any other branch of Christianity. However, when we talk about Christian media, now we're beginning to understand where the real issue comes from. Kikasola, however, said that if you mean the Christian media, then they would view your doctrine as incomplete. That's what was his words were. Incomplete. He said, in fact, we have some oneness Pentecostals in our PhD program at Regent University, and we accept them as part of the fellowship. The only reason I mention this is because there are some people out there that do realize that they are true scholars and honest in their study. They realize that they cannot dispute historically or biblically what we believe. And I appreciate someone that has an honest heart. My experience has been that the ones that you have the most problem with are those that their scholarship is faulty, their history is lacking, they have not done the work to study out what we believe and understand what we believe, because if they do, they will find out that we indeed do believe the truth. We believe something that is based on history, praise the Lord, sound ground, something that is biblically proven. I'm thankful that I believe the truth. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. So, those that are true scholars, they will come to the place of allowing you to exist with your belief, because they cannot dispute it. And so my conclusion then is that the secular media basically doesn't care what we believe. And then secondly, the Christian media, certainly there are many that do have a bias against us, the majority no doubt, but there are some that still will allow us to believe what we believe. But then my third point of my conclusion is that it is indeed growing. And as we get nearer to the coming of the Lord, I believe that it's going to be more and more of an issue. We're going to have less and less opportunity, if we would so desire, to interact with the rest of the Christian church. I'm not saying that we would want to do that, but we're not going to find those opportunities because there's going to be more and more of a distinction, more of a dividing line between those that believe the truth and those that believe basically anything else. You see, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I believe that this is a spiritual battle. It's not just an academic battle. It's not just a battle on how to interpret history. It's not just a battle of revisionism of past history. But I believe with all my heart that this is a spiritual battle. And that's why we come against such bitterness, such attitudes by some in the media. So, I want to look very briefly at just a few books, because of our limited time, that have recently come out against Oneness Pentecostals. No doubt there has always been, throughout history, a history of anti-oneness material. Beginning clear back with the Church Fathers, I'm sure many of you have the anti-Nicene Fathers, their writings on your bookshelf, in your office. And you know that within those writings, there was a distinct bias against Oneness Pentecostalism. So this is not something that is new. This is something that has been against the true church down through time, since the days of the apostles. And in some ways, we are thankful that there was a bias, because it allowed their historians to record many different facts of our existence. You see, they deemed our theology as being heresy. They did not believe it. And so they would destroy most of the artifacts and the writings that the Oneness Pentecostals would write down through the centuries. However, because of their bias against us, because of their hatred and their desire to stamp us out, then indeed they did record the fact that we did exist. So that was down through history. Now, the last century, there were some instrumental books. We won't go into them, such as Brumbach's book and Lindquist's book. But more recently is what we're really concerned with. And the first one here, it came out about 11 years ago, Oneness Pentecostals in the Trinity by Gregory A. Boyd. It was published by Baker in 1992, and certainly it was a book that was very critical against Oneness Pentecostalism. I tried within my city to get that taken off of the shelf in the Bible bookstore, and even though I have a very good relationship with the manager of the Bible bookstore there, it remains. I stopped by a couple weeks ago. It was still there after 11 years on the shelf that is listed as cults. Cults. I guess that's the thing that bothers me the most, is where the category that they put that book. Of course, they may be talking about Boyd being a cult. I don't know, because that might be closer to the truth, Brother French. That's possible. But nonetheless, the book is still there. And those of you that have never read this, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it would be, if you do get it, read it right before you go to bed. Try to go to sleep, because it's always good to go to sleep with nothing on your mind. And I think that. So, but Boyd's book is a little dated, not a lot of scholarship, and he very quickly reveals his bitter attitude and bias against the Oneness Pentecostal people. He came from some of the same roots that Brother French and I are from, and he attended a UPC church for several years, and so there are almost always ulterior motives behind these writers. I really believe in my heart there are always ulterior motives behind these writers. Things like dollars, selling books. You don't realize how big a factor that is. Things like past prejudices or maybe they've had a bad experience with someone that believed in oneness Pentecostalism, you dig deep enough, you will find that there's something in their background that you can see as being in part responsible for their desire to write against oneness Pentecostals. The second book that I believe is very, very important is by Calvin Weisner. It's a little handbook, and it's entitled Jesus Only Churches. It was published in 1998 by Zondervan. Now, Zondervan probably publishes more books against the oneness Pentecostals than any other major publisher. I like Zondervan. I've got a lot of Zondervan books. But they have not been our friend as far as publishing books that stand against what we believe. Now, this particular handbook by Weisner is a part of a series, and the series is entitled, in fact, you can see it right there in the upper right-hand corner of the slide. It is entitled Cults. And again, that is another thing that unnerves me, that they would place us in that category as cults. You know, we talk about the fact that we don't believe in the Trinity, and we don't. We don't believe in their plan of salvation. But probably, Brother Mooney, 90% of what we do believe, they believe. 90%. Now, I'm not saying it's the most important 90%, but we all believe in morality. We believe in the Ten Commandments. We believe in supporting your family and all those good family values, all the great truths. We uphold Scripture and the truth of the Old Testament. A lot of things. Why don't they focus on that? Why don't they focus on that? But they pick out these doctrines, and I believe it's because there are ulterior motives behind them, and then they brand us a cult because, well, we don't believe in a non-biblical understanding of the Godhead. We don't believe in a non-historical understanding of the Godhead, and they brand us a cult. They say that we are not Christian. If there's anybody that lifts up Jesus Christ in their services, if there's anybody that believes in the name of Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, anybody that invokes the name of Jesus Christ, certainly it's the Oneness Apostolic Church. If there's anybody that's not a cult, it's this church. Praise God. We won't go into the definition of cult. You know that by their own definitions, we do not fit that category. But Weisner puts us in that category. Now, Weisner is the man, you might remember him as taking over he was the heir apparent for Walter Martin, who was one of the leading scholars in cults and other religions. He wrote the outstanding book, Kingdom of the Cults. I have two copies. It's such a good book. And although Walter Martin was against us, he never had the attitude and the mean-spiritedness that I didn't find that Weisner has. Now, Weisner made his first claim to fame years ago, I think it was in the 70s, when he debated Brother Urshan and Robert Sabin. I think there was a couple different debates. How many ever sat in on any of those debates? I thought there would be some that were there. And he showed to me then, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Brother French, but he showed to me then that he was driven by his spirit and by his attitude, certainly not by his scholarship. And I did not believe at that time, nor since, in his writings or personal conversations, have I ever been impressed by his scholarship. And I'm not trying to badger him, but I'm saying that he tries to inflame someone. He tries to call people names, and he tries to make a case from that. And I have that documented again in the CD that's in your handout. But I also wanted to read this one quote from Weisner that he sent to me in response to those questions that I showed you at the onset of my time here today. This is what Weisner's email response was to the question, is there bias in the media against oneness Pentecostals? It says, is that my first slide on that? There we go. Common sense would lead for two different reasons, in two different directions regarding the answer to your question, whether a Oneness Pentecostal should expect opposition in the media because of his biblical interpretation of the Godhead and his exclusive use of Jesus' name formula. Next slide. Oneness Pentecostalism has thrived primarily among less educated professing Christians, that it is the faith of a tiny minority of professing Christians, both now and throughout the history of Christianity. Stop right there. Well, first of all, Brother French, send back your book and send back your degrees, okay? Because you, Beisner has said that it's a tiny minority. How many million? 25 million. It's a tiny minority. And he also says that we are less educated. That we are less educated. In history, you know, one of the arguments that I had when I did my study, my limited study on this topic, was that one of the scholars, in fact, might have been one of the ones I mentioned here today. He said, "But we do have a problem with some of the things you are saying and some of the ways you're interpreting history." I said, "Well, like what? What are you talking about?" He said, "Well," he says, "this statement here that you have extracted from the Anti-Nicene Fathers that said that all of the church is soon going to embrace this oneness belief and baptism." This was back in the early years of the church. "All of the church," I said, and I gave my reference, told him exactly where I got it from. I said, "What's the problem with that?" He says, "Well," he says, "we don't believe that all means all." I said, "And?" He says, "Well, that's it." He says, "We don't believe that all means all." I said, "So in other words, you're looking at the historical reference that we are to be using, the writings of the Anti-Nicene Fathers, and you don't believe that all means all, and I believe that all means all, and so that's where you're criticizing." He said, "Yes, that's right." And I says, and what else is there?" He says, "Well, that's pretty much basically it." And the point being that this is the same attitude that Beisner is saying. I want you to know that there are a lot of oneness apostolics, that we are the growing church, that we are gaining ground. Praise the Lord, this is a great church. Oh yes, it is. It's a great church. And I can imagine that Noah probably got some criticism like that too. "Noah, you're not going to make it. There's only a handful of you. You can't be right." And finally, Brother French, and that oneness Pentecostals have produced no major works of scholarship. So again, when you don't have the facts, when you cannot argue from a factual basis, logic always says, call people names. And really, you know, Brother French was more of a gentleman. He didn't call people, mention their names up here, but I'm just reading quotes from these individuals. The third book, then, is Charts and Sects and Religious Movements. And this is basically a good book. It's edited or written by H. Wayne House, and it has a lot of good information in it. Most of the information in it about the United Pentecostal Church, it has an entire chapter, which, by the way, I have scanned this entire chapter on the United Pentecostal Church, and it is on this disc as well. So you can read that entire chapter that he writes on the United Pentecostal Church, if you would like to do so from that disc. But most of what he says is really not mean-spirited, or I don't take great issue with most of the chapters, and even a lot of what he says about the United Pentecostal Church, certainly we would agree with. So while it is a book that stands against us, and I guess the biggest issue that I have with this volume is the fact that the United Pentecostal Church has an entire chapter in a book that is entitled Cults, Sects, and Religious Movements. And he just places us with a lot of other people that I would not call Christian. Moving on then, the book number four. Book number four is entitled The Challenge of the Cults and New Religions. This book is written by Ron Rhodes. It is quite unlike House's book that we just talked about. This book is very, very mean-spirited, if I may say so. And it's really, when I was looking through this, this was written just a few years ago, again published by Zondervan. This man was educated at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I want to show you this book. This just really blew me away. This book has two sections in it that has photographs. And again, it has an entire chapter on the United Pentecostal Church. Well, one of the photograph sections is right in the middle of the United Pentecostal Church chapter. And I want you to look at some of these photographs that they have that are talking about the cults here. It talks about Hindus, the Unification Church, the Baha'i, and then right smack in the middle of all these, I didn't make this up. That picture's in this book. Have you seen this? It's incredible. I'm looking through this stuff and I see Sun Young Moon, I see all these guys. Oh, we're not done. Show them the next two slides. Masonic and Satanism. The next page after headquarters is a picture of that guy. Does anybody know who that is? Back up to a headquarters. Can you back up to... But right, look, right, is that it? And then underneath... What's underneath? See this here? We'll comment on that. Right underneath headquarters is Gateway College of Evangelism. Well, that was a close call. Wow. That was a close call. Thankfully, I don't know where this is published from, but thankfully that was a shorter drive than Indianapolis. But that book, I mean, just to include us in those pictures is unbelievable. Is there a bias in the media? Well, certainly there is. Certainly there is. And I'm just about out of time, and I'm going to have to wrap this up. The final book, which I won't have time to hardly begin, is entitled, I'm sorry, I misquoted that. I don't know where in the world he talks about that. It's not salvation without the cross. It's Christianity without the cross. I don't know why I did that. That was my typing. But it's Christianity without the cross. And then the subtitle is A History of Salvation in Oneness Pentecostalism. And the writer is Thomas Fudge. It was just released this year, 2003, by Universal Publishers. I don't have time to go into it, but it is an incredible book. How many are familiar with this book? There's a lot of people here. Your name is in this book. Did you know that? There's a lot of people that I saw your names in this book and in the index. And I saw, I won't begin to mention them, but he claims to have interviewed you. So you probably need to take a look at it and see if your name is in there. You will know a lot of people that's in there. But I question the process in all this for the French. I really do. Did these people know that they were being interviewed for this? And some of the observations that this man makes, some of the stories that he relates is in my opinion, is very questionable. It's mean-spirited. It's very caustic. I just had to read something, okay? So let me just... Oh, you got it here already. He's talking about the political upheaval in the United Pentecostal Church during the 70s. And he said that this was a popular jingle that was throughout the fellowship. Many are for Tenney, a few for Pew. Price is all right, but stands the man. Talking about Brother Stanley Chambers. Did anybody ever hear that? I never heard that. I was around quite a bit. I went to Bible school during those years, and we had a lot of people. And this was a popular jingle? This was a popular jingle? We never sang that at any of our Christmas parties up at ABI. And I'm not just... I am pulling just one little thing out, okay? But that's only because of the time constraints. I could pull out something from almost every page of this book. And the most salient point was made by Brother French, as we discussed about this, is that the title of the book, Christianity Without the Cross. If there's anybody that believes in the value and what happened on the cross, it's Oneness Pentecostals. Patripassianism. We believe that the Father suffered. Not somebody else that was sent down there. Hey, why don't you go down there and suffer for these people? No, He went Himself. He came Himself and died for us. Praise the Lord. So don't tell me about Christianity without the cross. We believe in the cross and the value of the cross and what happened. Praise the Lord. And so I do want to make a note. I don't know if you knew this, Brother French, but Brother French pointed out to me that that really is never even mentioned in the book, and I didn't find it either. He never really explains or certainly does not make that case why we are Christians without the cross. He never makes that case in that book. And not only that, but that was not his original title. That book was going to be released under a totally different title. And then just at the last minute, right before it went to press, they put this title on. No doubt, the stir up things, the flame things up, to get people's emotions. So why again? So this book could get out, so he'd sell books. That's my, you asked me to come, that's what I feel. That's my opinion. That's part of a critique, okay? All right, we don't have time to go on very further. I do want to mention very briefly Charisma Magazine. I have downloaded maybe 20 articles from Charisma Magazine. Charisma has definitely been very critical against the Oneness Pentecostal movement, especially the United Pentecostal Church. And in fact, when he wrote that main article that's in your handout. I copied it both on the disc and in your handout. When he wrote that main article, I happen to know that he interviewed many other Oneness Pentecostal movements. He interviewed me. I sat with him for probably 45 minutes talking to him about Oneness Pentecostalism. I'm referring to Lee Grady now, the editor and who wrote that article. That's the publisher. And Lee Grady and I sat and he interviewed me. But there was almost nothing mentioned about other organizations that number, a great number. There's a great number of other organizations. But most all of his comments that he writes are directed towards the United Pentecostal Church. Once again, sending up a red flag that perhaps there's some real bias here, that perhaps there's some real bitterness and real some ulterior motive back there, in my views. That's just my opinion, my views. Because he doesn't look at the movement as a whole, but seems to focus in. And so I've downloaded those articles. They're very interesting. You can read through them. Next is Christianity Today. It's more of a magazine that is addressed to mainline Christianity, more than the charismatic world. That's a cover of it. And it's published by Christianity Today International. And rather than dealing primarily with the themes of the United Pentecostal Church, and there's a lot of articles, mentions about Tommy Tenney in Charisma, Christianity Today seems to focus on T.D. Jakes. And that's where they... I'm sorry. Did I mess up? I got ahead of myself. But they write a lot about T.D. Jakes. We're going to find T.D. Jakes here. I got some really great pictures about T.D. There we go. Show all those great pictures about T.D. Jakes. Isn't he a nice looking guy? I just downloaded all these pictures. We'll stop on the last one. But the thing, that's good right there. The thing about T.D. Jakes, and I know that you're going to say, well, we're not associated with some of these names that I've mentioned, especially T.D. Jakes. I'm not saying that we're associated with him, that he's a part of us. But the world views him as part of us. They view his doctrine as part of us. So the bias that would come against him would be that same bias that would come against us. That's how the evangelical, charismatic Christian world, they view, they put us all together. A lot of people do. and especially in the criticism. And so these men that I've mentioned here are the ones that receive the most of the bias. In closing, this is a spiritual battle. And I've already touched on that. I won't go into that again. I believe that's the answer. That's the reason. That's why we see such vehement writing against what we believe. It is a spiritual battle. And that's somewhat encouraging to me. It kind of gives me a great thrill that, hey, we must be on the right side. You know, we must be different than all those other guys. Why do we stand out here alone? Why do they pick on us, if you will? Why is there bias? It's because it's an issue of right or wrong. That's the reason. And you ought to appreciate that. Praise the Lord. The Bible prophesied that it would take place in these last days. I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked when we come up against opposition. Shouldn't we? Don't we believe something different? Aren't you willing to stand for the truth? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be a part of that one world church. And I believe it's coming to that. Everyone's going to be grouped together. And as long as you don't rustle each other's feathers, as long as you don't stir the water, you're going to be okay. But the problem is, and this is the whole issue, what Brother Mooney preached about last night, it's exclusivism. It's when you say, you've got to believe this. You've got to believe in Jesus' name baptism. You must receive the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. That's the whole issue. That's the whole issue, exclusivism. And in closing, our response should be, have a proper attitude and spirit. It's my fault up there. I had to cut that. We must have a proper attitude and spirit. We must know the doctrine and teach it. The danger is accommodation with the Christian world. We can't do it. We can't do it and exist. And then show me that last slide. This is the answer to all your problems. Steadfast Conference. Let's all stand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not going to have any music between, because dinner hour, it has to be on cue right at the moment. And so we have just a little time to make up. So instead of singing a song or something for us to stand and relax, we do real good at relaxing and praising the Lord. And is it wonderful that we know the truth?